Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
So I'm going to be in 2 Samuel today. And, you know, there's this story that I just love so much and has been just such a huge, story in the Bible that has spoken so much to me, and really it should to all of us, because it gives us this picture, or it's a type or a picture of what Christ does for us and the work of the cross. And before this moment here in 2 Samuel that I'm going to be talking about, there's in 1 Samuel, it tells of David and these, things that are going on between him and Saul. And there was really this like civil war and fight between Saul and David. And the complicating thing in this story is that David was best of best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. They were so, so very close that Jonathan was actually helping David out and telling him things so that he could stay safe and helping to hide him. And in this moment where Saul is looking for David and he is out to get him, to kill him, he wants him to be gone, right? And Jonathan makes this covenant with David. And he comes and he says, I want to make this covenant with you that we will be for each other, like that we will fight for each other, we'll protect each other and take care of each other. So in 1 Samuel 20, starting in verse 14, it says, and you shall not only show me kindness, the kindness of the Lord, while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. It's a pretty substantial covenant and promise that he is asking David to make with him. It says, no, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemies. He's saying, I want to make this covenant with you that we will be for each other and that we will take care of each other. And what happens after this is David, because Jonathan helps him, is able to flee. And throughout this whole situation, then it comes to this place where not only Saul, but Jonathan are killed in this battle. And as David comes to take the throne, and he is, and this is what happened every time, basically, in those days. And when he came into this place of taking the throne, he had to, you know, defeat his enemies. And so the whole family was wiped out. But there was one that lived through this. And his name was Mephibosheth. And if I can say his name every time today without messing it up, I will be proud of myself. Hopefully you'll be proud of me too, because it's an interesting one to say, especially if you're saying it fast. As we look at this story of David and Mephibosheth, it's a representation, a type, a picture of what God has done for us, the grace that God has for us, the covenant that he's made with us, that he will come after us, that he is the one that seeks us out. In 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, it says, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. So it goes on to tell us how this happened. And it says he was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up. She just grabbed him. The woman that was taking care of him, she grabbed him and just took off running. It says, and she fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. His name was Mephibosheth. So she just was running. She's like, okay, the whole family is dying, and I've got to get this little boy out of this situation. She grabs him up, takes him in her arms, and she starts running. And all of a sudden, it doesn't say exactly what happened, but he fell. She dropped him. And somehow it must have, you know, of course, done something in his back or his legs, and he was lame from that moment on. And he started out his life as at a disadvantage, being dropped, being lame from the age of 5. Grew up needing people to take care of him, needing someone to help him every day. And in this story, I want us to see and I want us to understand that this is like, no, not, oh gosh, that's so sad, but this is a picture of us. And we may not have the same infirmity that he had, but we are all crippled. We all come from a place being crippled, let's say, morally speaking, or spiritually speaking, that we also aren't able to do it on our own. That we don't have the strength. We actually, it's not only that, because, you know, sometimes it's like, we can't do it on our own, we need his strength, but literally, that he has to pick me up and carry me because I can't actually even walk on my own. Like, can we see that picture? Physically speaking, morally speaking, spiritually speaking, and we can't live up to the standards of God. We all deal with sickness and death. None of us are righteous. No, not one. We all have basically the same problem as Mephibosheth did. He was crippled in his feet, and we're crippled when it comes to pleasing God on the basis of our own deeds. When we come to 2 Samuel in chapter 9 specifically, but in 2 Samuel it starts talking about, you know, there's if the chapter headings, David starts to reign and rule and defeat enemies and establish and, you know, defeating the Philistines and establishing his kingdom, and all these things are happening. And he comes to this place in chapter 9 where he remembers the covenant that was made with Jonathan. So in 2 Samuel chapter 9 verse 1 says, "Now David said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' He said, 'At your service.' Then the king said, 'Is there still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness, the kindness of God?' And Ziba said to the king, 'There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet.' See, Mephibosheth didn't search out for David. Actually, Mephibosheth actually, he was in hiding. So he wasn't searching out. He wasn't going after David and saying, hey, look at me. He was running. Just like we run from God. Just like we run and hide. And stay in this place of saying, if you just can't see me, I think I'll be all right. But David says, I want to honor the covenant that I made with Jonathan. I want to do something good. I want to look for someone that's a relative, that's a descendant of Saul, of Jonathan, because of my covenant. I need to do good. So David sought out Mephibosheth. He sought him out. He said, I need to find him. I think, remember, I'm taking this story and it's a type or a picture of God and us, and that's what God does with us. That he says, I need to find. I need to find the one, right? Remember the story of the lost sheep, that he goes after the one that's lost. He says, I need to find them. I'm going to go. We can't find him on our own, but when he comes and allows himself to be known to us, that he comes to us and says, I want to be with you. I want you to know me. I want to bless you. I want to restore you. I want to bring you into the place you were created to be. King David did this, went out of his way. Seek out the lost son of Jonathan. And in Luke 19:10, it says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek after and to save those that are lost. See, in church, I'm going to get on a little sidetrack here, but so many times we focus on the us being in church and how can we build ourselves up and strengthen ourselves, but really the whole point of the church and what God has called each and every one of us to do and who he's called us to be is to seek and save the lost. The focus of the church is not, take this the right way, it's not you. It's not me. The focus of the church are those that are lost. See, God's not lost. We are. There's an interesting story of Henry David Thoreau. He was near death, and he was visited by one of his aunts that came to him. It was very, you know, pious, older woman, I suppose. And she came to him, and he's on his deathbed, and she said, Henry, have you made your peace with God? And he replied to her, I didn't know that we had ever quarreled. And in this story, I say this because so many times that's kind of the mentality that we get in. This place of hey, have you made your peace? Well, I didn't know we had any issues, you know? Like, he's there, I'm here, I'm not fighting with him, he's not fighting with me. But no, that's not the place that we were created to be. Right? We were created to be seated at his table. Not just not quarreling with him. We were created to be heirs to his kingdom, to be his sons and his daughters, to be there that we could eat at the table, that we could be seated at the table with him, that his blessing, who he is, I don't want to be in the place where it'd be like, you know, I didn't know we had any issues, you know? I'm just doing my thing. No, see, he sought after you and I. He came after us. And I want to be in the position that it's not that I have to make him seek after me again, but now when he has come to seek after me, that I could come into this relationship, that I could be with him, that I could love him, that I am the one now. There's a switch in what needs to happen. That now, because of what he's done for me, because of what he's done for you and I, because of that now all of a sudden it changes to where I live a life of just seeking after him. To know him more, to love him more, to listen and do what he's asking us to do. In 2 Samuel 9:4, remember David said, is there somebody? Is there one that's a relative of Saul that I can bless, that I can do something for? They said, hey, there's Mephibosheth, and he's the son of Jonathan, the one that you made a covenant with. He says, go tell him, I want to talk to him. And so in verse 4, it says, so the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. There's a couple of things in here that, like, I'm going to dig in just for a second. So the grandson of the previous king, Saul, he had to run, right? He was crippled as they were running. And now he's in this place. Not only does he not have his own house or his own place to live, but also he's living in Lodabar. So he doesn't have his own house, but he's living in somebody else's house. He's come to this place of, I mean, he's real low. He's real down and out. And this place where he's living, actually this house is in Lodabar, a town previously before that called Debir, I believe. And Debir means pasture, or a place where flocks of sheep could come and eat and lay and rest. And now it was turned to this place called Lodabar, which actually means nothing. Debar means thing or word. And lo is a negative connotation put in front of a word. So when you put that together, it's no thing. no bread, no work. It's the middle of nowhere. And that's where we were. A place of no food, no pasture, no rest. A desolate place. This is what this means. He was hiding out in a desolate place. And David didn't wait for Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, to come out of that desolate place. He didn't wait for him to come out to a place that was better, a place where he was doing well. He didn't wait till he had made it on his own for a little bit, maybe established his own house. But no, David, he sought him out in the place that he was. Barren. Didn't have anything. Couldn't take care of himself. And David said, I'm going after him. Again, remember, this is a picture of what Christ does for us. He didn't wait till we were in a good place or had established ourselves or that we could make it on our own or that we got past that thing that we were dealing with. No, but he came to that desolate place and called us by name and said, I want to bless you. I want to do this for you. Will you come with me? Came into our desolate place so that we could have nourishment in life, right? From a place of nothing to be seated with him at his table. In 2 Samuel 9, 7, or verse 6, I'm going to start with. I don't know if you have that, but now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, here is your servant. Now verse 7, so David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Now see, David loved Mephibosheth from the very beginning, no matter what. But what's amazing is that he didn't do it for Mephibosheth's sake or because he knew him, but because of Jonathan. And God with us, he loves us so much, and he can give us that not because of our sake or because of what we've done or because, you know, something that we're good enough. But because of Christ's sake, because of what he did for us, right? That we're lame spiritually. Not able to do it on our own, not righteous on our own. But because of what Christ has done, that we are righteous in him and because of him, that God reaches out. Not because we did something good, but because of the amazing thing that Christ did for us. In 2 Samuel 9:8 says, then he bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Not just a dog, but a dead dog. And think about this. Like, oh man, wow, he's really down on himself. Call himself a dead. Who is your servant that you should call on a dead dog as I? But then, maybe if you will, would you think about the times that we're like, and again, I'll tell you, I'm honest. I've been in this place many times. Like, who am I, God, that you would do this for me? Who am I that you would use me to do this? Who am I that you would call me out of my mess or my barren place to call me to this kingdom of yours? This place where I can have abundance. Not because of who I am or because of what I've done, because I've created for myself, but because I'm now in your kingdom and that you are just freely giving me who you are and all that you have, your food and your land and all. And we say, you know, man, he called himself. And how many times have we said the same thing? You may not have said, I'm a dead dog, but think about the things that you've said. When you told God that you weren't worthy, or that you didn't have enough, or that this was wrong, or that's wrong, or you can't do it because this or that. You know, I'm just. You may not have thought you were calling yourself a dead dog, but you were calling yourself a dead dog. See, Mephibosheth didn't see himself of being worthy of such generosity. All these years in hiding and living in this barren place, in this poverty, made him think of himself as worthless. We're not worthless, but sometimes the place we have been in for so long makes us feel like we're worthless. Makes us feel like we're not worthy of that blessing. But we have to understand that, look, Mephibosheth, he was the son of the firstborn son of the previous king. He actually was an heir to the throne. Do you guys see like the parallels in all this stuff? And he's saying he's a dead dog. When he very well would have been the person that was ruling this kingdom had things been different. And we call ourselves a dead dog or say whatever complaint or why we're not worthy. And God says, no, remember who you are. Remember who I have created you. Remember, you are royalty. You're deserving of blessing. You're deserving of being seated at the table with the king. Verse 9, and the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant. So this is Saul's servant that was with Mephibosheth. He was a servant of his grandfather. And he said to him, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul. I've given to Mephibosheth all that belonged to his grandfather and to all his house. You therefore, like, think about this. He is restoring all that he would have had. He didn't say, hey, I'll just give you a little bit of crumbs from my table. He's saying, no, I'm not just letting you just eat the scraps from my table, but I'm actually giving you everything that I had created you for. Everything that you were heir to, I am giving that to you. God doesn't do this work in us. He doesn't call us and bring us out so that he could just have us eat scraps from his table. No, he says, I'm going to restore to you just as if nothing had changed. Just as if you weren't living in a barren place for years and years and years. I've given to your master's son all that belonged to Saul and to his house. You, therefore, and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest that your master's son may eat, may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. But Mephibosheth, but him, your master's son, he shall eat bread at my, he says, I'm not going to make him work the land and see how good he does, but I'm going to actually put him at my table so that he can eat of my blessing, of my food. Now listen, remember, Mephibosheth said that, who am I? I feel like this dead dog. Who am I? Said these things that he was feeling about himself. But I love that David didn't even respond to his feelings about himself. And God doesn't respond and you know, act on our feelings for ourselves. And what we speak over ourselves or how we, you know, talk to ourselves. He doesn't respond to that and do what he's going to do because of that. But no, he is responding because of who Mephibosheth is. And said, no, he's going to have all the stuff that was taken away. I will give him, I will restore the inheritance of his grandfather to him. And not only that, he's going to eat at my table. See, Jesus doesn't respond to our attitude or the things that we speak over ourselves, what he responds to, what he does for us is because of who he's created us to be. Man, I'm glad that he I'm glad that he doesn't do what he does because of how I speak about myself. In verse 11, he says again, as for Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table, verse 11, like one of the king's sons. He shall eat at my table like one of the king's. He is an heir. He's not a dead dog. He's an heir. He's not one that's living in a barren wasteland. That means no thing. He's an heir. He's a son. You're a son. You're a daughter of the king. Hey, do you guys see this? I hope that today, like this, that we understand and see what God is speaking to us today, that we should not be thinking these things about ourselves, but thinking what he thinks about us. Not prideful, but saying, God, this is what you've created me for. that I could be seated at your table, that I could live with your blessing, that I could live in this place where I have what I need because you are providing it for me daily. That's who I am. In verse 13, 2 Samuel 9, 13, it says, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. He made dwell is to stay, to live, to dwell, to be there, right? Like, it's being established in a place. And he dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both his feet. Now, remember how I said that this is a parallel, that this relates to us, and because we can't do it on our own, because we can't make it. And not only is it not that I don't have the strength, but it's that I can't even walk. I can't even do this without him. That he has to pick me up and carry me along. That I can't even walk to the place that I need to be, but I need him to carry me, right? And in this story, it says here in verse 13 that he dwelt in Jerusalem. He made his place. We make our place in the kingdom. We make our place at the table with him. And we are able to have that blessing and eat of his food. But it ends this statement saying, and he was lame in both feet. See, I think the place of understanding that we are lame and in need, that doesn't go away, the need for it. It will not go away while we're here on this earth. I'll still be in need of him. I'll still be in need of his blessing. I'll still be in need of him to carry me along. I'll still be in need of his strength and his understanding and his wisdom and all of who he is to do what he's called me to do really anything. But I will need that every single day of my life, continually, even when I'm eating at the table, I'm seated at the table of God doing what he's called me to do. And I'll need him. I will need him always. That my lameness, my propensity for sin, my propensity for saying that I'm a dead dog or that I can't do it or feeling that I'm not strong, and not just feeling that I'm not strong enough, but knowing that I'm not strong enough or that I can't do it on my own. That will be with me until I'm with him. But see, we also can see another side of this, that now, right, he wasn't in a barren wasteland and in a place of nothing, but now he's seated at the table. Now he is eating of the king's food and being blessed, and he's seated there. But listen, whenever you're seated at a table, could you imagine with me? I should have had a table, and I'm not a prop guy, but when you sit down at a table, everybody's, first of all, everybody's seated. Mephibosheth didn't look any different from the person across from him as far as lameness was concerned. Now, I have to know that I'm still in need of him. But he's called us to be seated at his table. When we're seated at his table, we're just living in that place of being fed by him and living in his blessing. And whenever we sit down, you're not seeing my lameness. I'm not seeing your lameness. We all just look like heirs to the kingdom. See, his infirmity was covered by the table. The thing that people could see and say, wow, he's struggling, or he can't make it on his own, or he, you know, all that stuff. When he was out there, not at the table, that was pretty visible. It's the same with us. When I'm out there doing it on my own, when you're out there doing it on your own, our mess is pretty visible. But when we come to the table, when we come to this place, this relationship with him, and he sought us out, right? He said, hey, come, I want you to be with me. I want to bless you. I want this relationship with you. I want to give you what is rightfully yours, what I've created you for. You are an heir. You're a son. You're a daughter of the king. He says, come out of that barren place and be seated at the table. And we're seated at the table. And all of a sudden, those things in me, those things in you that were a mess, that were lameness, they're covered, right, by the table. They're covered. And this relationship that we have with Christ, it is covered by him. Right? His blood, it washes. His blood covers. Just like Mephibosheth. If we walk away from the table, we realize that we're still inadequate to do it on our own. And can you see this? If he walks away from the table and he says, no, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go out there and just get my own food. Instead of just being seated at the king's table and just being blessed and allowing him to just provide this, what I need, and him to provide that sustenance, that protection, that covering. I'm just going to go out, and all of a sudden he realizes once again that he's inadequate. It's the same with us. Man, when I walk away from the table, I realize real quick that I'm inadequate. When I walk away from the place that he's called me to. Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.